This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Active Skin Repair uses a molecule called hypochlorous acid, which mimics our natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. We've been loving Active Skin Repair for all the cuts and scrapes that show up in the active toddler life. Sage loves that there's both the spray version but also a cream version. He likes to get to choose which one he's going to do. He calls it the magic cream. And it's been so great for taking care of Mila's neck rash now that she's full on teething. Can we get a minute for a teething 3.5-month-old? What in the world? Active Skin Repair has thousands of 5-star reviews, and the ingredients so safe and clean, they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, keeping it simple with one soothing solution for all your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair, and to get 20% off your order, use code VILLAGE. That's www.activeskinrepair.com, code VILLAGE for 20% off your order. Hey there, I'm Alyssa Blass Campbell. I'm a mom with a master's degree in early childhood education and co-creator of the Collaborative Emotion Processing Method. I'm here to walk alongside you through the messy, vulnerable parts of being humans raising other humans with deep thoughts and actionable tips. Let's dive in together. All right, here we go. I am here today with two special guests. I get to bring Zach, my husband, on today, and our little Mila Bean is snoozing in a carrier on me, at least for now. Yeah. Which is bonkers because Sage, our first, would have never snoozed in this room with a light on and me talking.
And still wouldn't.
Still wouldn't, yeah. Mm-hmm. Never would, still wouldn't. Oh man, they're each their own person. Well, today we get to chat about Mila's birth story. Today is Zach's last day of parental leave, really. Brought this one down to the wire to record.
Yes. Like anything, any good work.
Right down to the wire. I first want to give a glimpse into her pregnancy, I guess. We, with Sage, it was such a long journey to his conception and sustained pregnancy that it was kind of bonkers with her. We had found out with him that when I took progesterone to get pregnant and then took it through the first trimester, I could stay pregnant, get pregnant, stay pregnant. And there were some pregnancy losses to learn that, but then learned that and had Seiji. And so going in with her, I took progesterone the very first time and it worked.
It worked. I kind of had a feeling that it was going to be a different journey to Mila than it was to Seiji.
Yeah, well, your feeling was right. I was shocked. Like, just, yeah, there was a part of me, I think, that didn't want to kind of hope for that, I guess, in fear of not getting that.
Yeah.
And
that's why I'm just mentioning it now.
Yeah, strong choice. But so yeah, we, our first round of trying, we got pregnant with Mila, which was faster than anticipated. And I got to reach out to Harper and say, hi, I know I'm publishing a book in the fall and, I'm going to be 32 weeks pregnant when that happens, which was hilarious little message to send. But yeah, we were jazzed. Her pregnancy, my first trimester was so much easier, and second, like, actually physically way easier, but I felt, I kept saying bloated, like all pregnancy physically on that side of things. I just felt like bigger and bloated in every, I feel like I got a positive test and had like a bump immediately, like, and did end up just like
carrying her so differently than I did him, which then checks out because we go into the end of pregnancy with both kids. I have hated. My like hips hurt. I can't lay down. I'm so physically uncomfortable with her. I had really bad acid reflux at the end. She was really high the whole time.
You did seem to hate the end of both pregnancies similarly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't love that. And Seiji was 41 and 5, and I had done a castor oil smoothie the day, went into labor with him. It put me into labor. And so with her, they had said I was really effaced at like 38 weeks. We were planning a home birth again like we did with Sage. And yeah, at 38 weeks, I was really effaced. And then I got COVID. Yeah. And we were like, okay, just stay put. And then, yeah. But I was like 0 centimeters dilated, all that jazz. And very similar to
which,
like Sage's
which end. It didn't necessarily give us any, it didn't make me think that it was going to take any longer because
correct.
We knew.
Right. Well, Sage's birth was so fast. And so, and that's what the midwife said this time too, like once this baby drops down onto your cervix, it's go time, that I was like so effaced and ready to rock there. So I had just like had it in my mind. Like I was like, you know what? I have a feeling I'm going to end up taking castor oil again, that otherwise I think Sage would still be in my body. And that's what gets my labors going. And our midwives basically said, like, any time after 40 weeks was fine if I wanted to take it. And just obviously to give them a heads up. And you have thoughts on that, Mila? And I was planning on taking it on a Monday, which would have been 46. And I was planning on doing it on a Monday because Sage would be in school. Mm-hmm. So we would drop him off. And then if it worked, great. Nana would pick him up and he would have a sleepover at Nana's. And if it didn't work, great. We would pick him up from school. And then as we got closer on that Friday beforehand, my parents, who live 6 hours away and were planning to come for the birth and stay for a week, my dad was like, hey, what do you think the odds are that this is going to work on Monday? And I was like, oh, that's not how babies work. Like, I don't know. I would love to say 100%, but I don't know why. And he was like, well, it looks like we're getting snow and there's going to be a bit of a storm on Monday. So if you think it's going to work, would it be cool if we maybe came out this weekend so that we were there? And then as I was looking at the weather, I was like, oh, yikes. Yeah, I don't want people traveling in the snow. Maybe I'll take it on Sunday. And once that entered my brain, I was like, I'm taking
having
it.
A baby on Sunday.
100%. Yes. And so my parents came in on Saturday and stayed the night. And then Rach and Erica from our seed team, Rach had been at Sagey's birth. They were coming from Maine. And so Sunday morning they texted and were like, I think we're just going to come out. Even if it doesn't work, whatever, we'll stay and just get snowed in with you. But they knew how fast Sage's had been. And it was going to be like a 4.5-5 hour trip for them from Maine. And so, yeah, we wake up Sunday morning. I'm like ready to go. Mm-hmm. We had a whole plan in place. And I started the castor oil smoothie at 9:30. I ate a really big breakfast that morning, which I then deeply regretted because the castor oil smoothie is really filling. And I was like choking it down, not because it was super gross, but because I was so full.
Did your dad make breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it like said on the instructions to eat a full meal beforehand.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. And I like really took that to heart.
Yeah.
And I regretted that because I was like literally like gagging, choking it down. But at like 10, you brought Seiji over to your mom's house.
Yep.
And the sisters, Erica and Rach, were already on the road.
Yep.
My parents had gotten here Saturday night, so they were here. Sage went over and we just sent like all of his sleep stuff in case he didn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
Sagey, we live like a mile from Zach's mom. And so Sagey has stayed there before. He has Nana Fridays for childcare. They're really close and it felt like such a perfect fit.
Totally.
And so we're like, all right, we'll do nap there and then keep you posted. And when you got back, like 10:30-ish.
Mm-hmm. We took a walk.
Yeah. 10:30, 11, we went on a walk with my mom.
Uh-huh.
Where I had
Braxton Hicks.
The entire time.
The entire time, yeah.
Just an incredibly hard uterus the entire time. That hill at the end, mm-hmm. towards the end, mm-hmm. was not lovely. And we got back and I was like feeling, I think, disheartened. Where I was like, ugh, I didn't go into labor. And with Sagey, I just did. With Sagey, I took it. We went on a walk and then 2 hours later, my water broke and it was like off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
And so when like 11:30 hit and it was like the 2 hour mark and I didn't go into labor yet, I was like, oh, it's not gonna work. Hi, beans. And then I like also then was like, okay, but I didn't finish the smoothie till like 10:30 because I had to choke it down. So I'm like, all right, if by 12:30 I haven't gone into labor, then the thing was I could like do another smoothie.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, all right, I'll go lay down, take a nap. I, like, couldn't fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Also, once I laid down, she was just moving around. So that's her favorite thing to do. And we laid down, though, and rested. And then at 12:30, I was like, okay, I'll go choke down another one of these smoothies.
Look, I thought you were going to puke.
I was full.
Yeah. You had sort of a white sheet look for a bit there.
Great. Yeah, I was like, I'm full.
Because the smoothie did work in one
correct
capacity.
So then when I got up from that nap, then I had some diarrhea.
Yeah.
Which is what castor oil does.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen with Sage.
No.
But I hadn't eaten a big breakfast either with Sage. But so that started to happen. And then at 1 o'clock, or just before 1, I took my first sip of the next smoothie,
mm-hmm.
had diarrhea, came back to take another sip, and was like, I think that's a contraction. And with Sage, I had zero early labor.
Yeah.
Literally zero. There was no like, oh, I'm like talking in between contractions and hanging out or whatever.
With Sage, yeah.
Yeah, my expectation was that was Sage, and then we didn't have that. It was just like off to the races. And so with this, I was like, is it a contraction? Let's see. And it definitely, like, for the first time, because I'd had so many Braxton Hicks with her starting at, like, 20 weeks,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden there was an arc where it was like, okay, it increases, it peaks, it comes back down. And so I started timing them on the app.
And immediately, go to the hospital.
Correct.
Go to the hospital.
It was like, yeah, after, like, the first few, because the longest I had in between contractions ever with her was five minutes, and that didn't last very long. They moved to three pretty quickly, like 3 minutes in between. But they were about a minute long, and I would just sit on the yoga ball, and I would rock back and forth, and I didn't want anyone to talk to me or touch me or talk around me and for that minute. And then they would pass, and I could chat and hang out. And so I was like, oh, this is chill. You can chat and hang out in between contractions. How fun. And Rach and Erica got there 2:30-ish.
Yeah, but I think your mom and I, we got that tub going.
Yeah, my parents set it up.
Your parents did,
They set it up.
They set it up. I did the hose.
You did the hose, yeah. My parents got it set up, I think, when you were bringing Sage over. They set it up at, like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
10.
Yeah.
So that it was all set and ready to go, and then all you would have to do is fill it. So you guys went up and filled it, you and my mom.
Yeah.
That's right, because I was downstairs with just my dad for a little bit, and he did not recognize when I was having a contraction. Where I would just, like, I wouldn't announce it. I would just, like, go quiet. I would close my eyes. I would breathe through it. And I was on the yoga ball. And he kept talking to me. And at one point, I turned to him and I said, when my eyes are closed and I'm breathing, I want you to please stop talking. And it was, like, in that tone. And he was like, okay, okay. And then he was like, Margaret, I just got yelled at. And... Oh, Yeah. So that, and then Rach, I think they got there around 2:30. Midwives got there at like 3. And I got in the tub at 3.
Yep.
And so, I was like, this feels so nice. So
the first contraction was
one.
So a couple hours.
I got in the tub and yeah, I was like, oh, this is nice. This is super true. I was waiting for the midwives to get there to get in the tub because I didn't know the rules.
That's not like you.
I know. That's really not like me. And the rest of this entire birth story, I did not follow any rules or care about them. And yeah, at like 3, Ivy Rose is like, you can get in the tub if you want. And I was like, oh, sick. And I got in and was like, oh, this is dope. I love this.
And that felt like a huge victory just to get to the point of getting in the tub.
I really wanted it for Sage, and we ran. There was no time. Everything was too fast. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was huge.
Felt like we really learned from that experience.
Correct.
We executed well.
Have the tub set up as you're taking castor oil. And yeah, so then when I was in the tub, the midwives were like getting everything just kind of set up, unpacking their kit. The birth photographer came over. Her name was Anna. So it was my mom, you, Rach, Erica, the birth photographer, Anna, and then Ivy, Rose, and Emmy. We used, for any local Burlington folks or Vermont folks, they're in the Montpelier area and have an office in Burlington, Threshold Midwifery, and absolutely loved our experience with them. But I remember Emmy and Ivy Rose were in the hallway, and I'm in the tub, and all of a sudden, I feel the pop, and I was like, oh, somebody let the midwives know my water just broke. But I'm like in the tub.
Yep.
And so they pop in. After that, that was at 3:30. There was no fun between contractions. Everything got pretty intense right away.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Being back to work after maternity leave has been so good and frankly so hard. I love what I do and I missed collaborating with my team while I was out, and it's been a tough transition. The combination of a packed schedule and still being the milk machine for Mila Bean, it's hard to juggle everything. I feel so grateful for my weekly therapy hour. Sometimes I'm just holding so much and I need a safe space to let it out and get it off my chest. I've noticed that when I don't release it, it comes out anyway, but usually in ways that aren't aligned with how I want to show up in the world. BetterHelp is such a convenient, flexible option for parents who just can't take the travel time to get to an in-person therapy visit. It's entirely online, you can show up in your jammies, always a win in my book, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and you're on your way to feeling heard. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/voices today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/voices. Having Sage approved audio for our car rides is a literal lifesaver for my nervous system, and I love making lists of podcasts to share with him when he's ready. I was so excited to hear about a new show called Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as MATH, M-A-T-H, geared toward the 6-plus crowd. Every episode follows two best friends, Max and Molly, who work together to solve riddles and math equations during their time-traveling adventures. Episodes drop every Thursday and are about 15 minutes long, the perfect length for car rides and mealtimes, and stacked with so much laughter that your kiddos won't even realize how much they're learning. So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
Yep. Yeah, that was like, oh, I remember this.
Yeah, that is what Sage's labor had been the whole time. I liked being in the water, but I also found it hard to like bear down and grip. Yeah, everything kind of felt slippery. And there's like handles and stuff, but with Sage, I'd been standing and squatting. And the joke was that with Sage, we were in a rental unit that was furnished, and they had said, like, The only thing, when we moved in, they were like, the only thing we care about in this space is this dresser.
Like, came over on the Mayflower or something.
It was like an heirloom dresser. And we were like, great, great, great. And then during his labor, all I wanted was to be standing at that dresser and pulling, like, bearing down and squatting.
Just pulling that dresser apart while I,
And it was so funny because the birth pool was set up and the only thing I wanted, I, like, leaned over to your dresser and held on to the handle.
Couldn't resist.
I'm like, give me a dresser when I'm in labor and I'm good. But yeah, so I was doing that through contractions and tried a couple different positions. Mostly wanted to be like on my knees, like leaning over the side of the tub, holding on to the dresser. And then I tried at one point.
You didn't have a great grip on that dresser ever. It had weird handles too. So
yeah, and I just
I saw you trying, and I was like,
But then I tried to flip over and like lean back, and I hated that.
You did. It's true. Yeah.
Like videos of humans, like, oh, they're like leaning back in a tub, and they're like pulling their own baby out, whatever. It's like peaceful. This is not me.
No.
There's nothing peaceful about me giving birth. It's not a peaceful experience. I scream through every contraction, scream, or like my throat is hoarse for days after.
Yeah. It's a pretty primal thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a unique scream.
Yeah. I said afterward to Rachel and Erica, I was like, I don't understand people who like aren't loud during birth. And they were both like, yeah, we didn't make a lot of noise. I'm like, how? How does that happen? Like, I'm so not in control of this. It just comes out. Hi, beans. So I like, whatever. That wasn't comfortable. And so I'm in the water this whole time. And every time the midwives were trying to get like a heart tone, like popping that Doppler down to try and listen to her heart, every time a contraction would start... And they had that. I didn't want to be touched at all, even outside of having contractions. I wanted somebody to delicately lay cold washcloths on the back of my neck and my head without putting any pressure on my body and then just get out of there.
Mm-hmm. That was the phrase of the phrase of the afternoon.
Every time they put that Doppler down to try and check her heart.
Nope.
Get out of here. Get out of here. It just comes out of my mouth. It is so I don't like being touched. Which is so funny because I love being touched when I'm not in labor. I just kept yelling at everybody to not touch me. And I also was like, in my head, was like, is there a point at which they're like, we have to check her heart and we have to figure this out. But I could feel her moving. And I was like, I've got this. You know, and they really like trusted me and let me do my thing.
As with all the primal screaming and the popping and things, I never felt like, we'd had Sage's experience, but also like the midwives are there and it's almost like they just can't even hear it because they're just like on their laptop making notes, conversing with each other. And you look at them and you're like, because you're like fully screaming 5 feet away and they're just like sitting there just like
calm.
Just, like, and yeah, so you're like, oh, well, this must be just how it goes.
Yeah, they're not
stressed.
Nothing
to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like in between contractions, I never looked up. I feel like my head was just like buried in the side of that pool. But I was still very sarcastic. Which is, I'm a pretty sarcastic human.
You can't take, it's just so in there.
Such a part of me. Yeah, at one point I said, like, oh, I want to tap out. And the midwife was like, she wants what? Like, what? And Erica was like, oh, she's asking for somebody else to please give birth now. She would like to be done.
But I think it was either right before then or right after then where you had, like, you were pushing and we could start to tell and you had like a change in your
scream.
And I caught Rach's eye. And because because that's what you're doing for Sage's birth when she arrived and asked if you were pushing, asked me.
And you said, no, I don't think so.
And it turns out you were. And so then when I heard it this time, I looked at her and I was like, oh, she was pushing.
That's the sound.
Yeah. And she
is was pushing like, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I then at one point said, like, how much longer? And that was when I was on my back still before I'd flipped back over to my hands and knees. And when I said how much longer, and Emmy said that I was like making good progress. Obviously, they can't see anything. Like,
no.
I'm not letting anyone near me.
Yeah.
And so they're going based off of the sounds I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you're making great progress and like bearing down, but it's not like imminent. Like there isn't a head yet. And I think my like Enneagram 3 self, my like achiever self was like, well then let's go. And so I flipped over into hands and knees and like was holding, I held your hands this time.
Yeah. Which shocked me when you grabbed my hand. And for a second I was like, oh no, does she think that she's grabbing a dresser and accidentally grabbed my hand? But then I just didn't question. I just went with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the right move. And that's when my pushing shifted, where I was like, okay, game on, let's go. And yeah. I pushed in like the way of like, I'm getting this baby out. Mm-hmm. And her head came out.
Yeah, and I knew that because you said after Sage's, when you had a push that you were like, oh, that's what it feels like. I knew that when you felt the urge to push that you were just going to, it's your nature. You're like, I'm going to take the information I learned and apply it to the next time I do it. And yeah, so yeah, you probably had like two or three pushes at that point, and every one like got a little bit more intense. And yeah, like I was like, I think she's not going to be pushing.
Yeah, I think it was like two of those pushes and her head came out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then from the time her head comes out until the time her whole body's born is 2 minutes and 18 seconds, I think was what they told us. And I only know that because these are the craziest 2 minutes of eight and 18 seconds maybe of my life.
It was, yeah, it ranked for sure. Yeah.
So her head's out and I don't remember exactly how this transpired, but the midwife said, I don't know if her head wasn't turning or something, but the midwife said, I think it's time to get out of the pool. And I said, no.
Her head was out and they said, if she doesn't come out on the next.
That was the second thing. First, they said, I think it's time to get out of the pool. And I said, no.
I'm getting ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. But I don't know what led to them saying that.
Uh-huh.
But then I just said no in true Alyssa fashion where I'm like, no. And
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, I want to be right here. And then she said, okay, if she doesn't come out in the next contraction, then we got to get out of the pool.
Uh-huh.
And the next contraction happened, and it was just like so primal for me, but like I felt that she wasn't moving the way that she should move. Because with Sage,
it was a huge push,
and she didn't shift.
Yeah, yeah.
And with Sage, it was like once his head came out, then I had one more push and got the rest of him out. And here, I just felt her like not shift in the way that she needed to shift. And so I said, I need help.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, get out of the pool. And
saying get out of the pool to you getting out of the pool was...
Half a second?
Yeah. It was like
left.
They said it and... Then I think you even said, how am I going to do this? And then you just stood up. Like, there was a leg coming over the side towards me.
Yeah, a head hanging out of me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I got down. There's a tarp underneath the pool. And I got
down. Which looked like such a small tarp when I'm trying to get flying out of there.
And I just said, like, what do I do? And they put my body into the position. It was in running start position. So, like, one leg was up, the other knee is down. Like, if I'm down on, like, blocks, I'm going to start a race. Running start position.
Just taking a knee.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And
whatever.
I think it's called running
start position. Whatever position.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm down there. And then on that next contraction.
Yeah. You're down there.
Yeah.
There's just like dripping water and
correct
fluids everywhere. And there's a face sticking out.
Yeah.
A full face.
Looking at you.
And I was right. Yeah. And I kind of had, I was right there.
Yeah.
So her face is there. And I see Emmy's like getting her leg up. And yeah, that's where it got super intense. Because you're like screaming pretty much nonstop screaming. Because you weren't waiting for pushes at that point.
And just like I had this urge, the urge to push didn't go away. It was staying, but she wasn't moving. Yeah. And I didn't feel scared. It just was like, I have this urge to push and she's not moving. And so Emmy went in and...
Well, I heard somebody say something about like hand or shoulder, like being stuck. And at that point, I think Emmy said, like, I heard the word shoulder. I heard the words like gonna help. And then you're just screaming. And then I just saw, I mean, at that point I kind of realized like, oh, she's gonna like... have to
get in there
and help coax. And then as she started doing that, I could kind of see the hand up there and I was like, oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Which matched all of her ultrasounds where her hand was right up by her face, like nuzzled right in there. And I'm sure, I don't have recollection of Emmy saying like, I got to go in and pull her shoulder, but
I just kind of knew that.
I fully believe she did say it because she, everything she did was so consensual, where she would let me know, like, you're going to feel my touch here. Or you're going to whatever. Oh yeah. It was a wild time.
Is this bringing
back some memes? Yeah. And yeah, I was screaming, no, stop, get away, just instinctually, but also was like, no, keep going. Like, I need you to get her out. Like, she was stuck. So she had shoulder dystocia. She was stuck. Her arm, her hand was up, like, next to her shoulder. Emmy went in and tried to swipe her shoulder out and help her, like, get out from under my pubic bone. And her hand moved, like her arm moved, but her shoulder didn't. So then she had to go in again and got her shoulder out. And then once she got her shoulder out, she just came out.
I remember seeing it slip out and I was like, oh, here she comes.
Yeah.
And then.
Sure enough.
Wabow.
And then a huge gush of fluid behind her.
Yeah.
And they just kept saying like, wow, you have so much fluid. And so she came out and we're on the tarp. And I'm just like, I needed like a minute to catch my breath.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, whew. And I snuggled her up and it's maybe 20 seconds before she cries. Not long at all.
Somebody said you can talk to her and you said hi. And as soon as she said hi, she started crying.
Yeah.
Which was
very cute. Moment. Yeah. and my dad had taken a video of that. Like once she was already out, my dad got a video of me like holding her. Me saying hi, her first cry, and then scans the room, and you just see, like, Erica, my mom, in the corner sobbing.
I didn't notice that at
Rachel
all.
Rachel looked phased. Like, I mean, it was such a wild end.
It's so frustrating to spend the money and effort to buy your kids clothes just to have them grow out of the size within a week, or have your kids complain that they itch, pinch, or just aren't comfortable. If you're with me on this, you've got to check out Posh Peanut. Their sensitive, skin-friendly clothes are made from viscose from bamboo, stretch with your kid as they grow, and they're also made to last. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, super cute clothing for kids and families. It is the softest thing, y'all. The design is all done in-house with different patterns, and it came in the mail, and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to wear this for myself every day. Their luxe women's pajamas and robes were all that I wanted to wear postpartum for nursing and hanging out on the couch with Mila. It helps so much that the fabric is breathable and chemical-free, which means they're delicate against Mila's sensitive skin, too. And I totally get why Posh Peanut is loved by over 1 million parents. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code VILLAGE. Go to poshpeanut.com/VILLAGE and use promo code VILLAGE for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/VILLAGE, promo code VILLAGE.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
It was wild, yeah.
And then it was like fun. And I said, what time is it? And my dad said, it's 4:30. And I think she was marked down at 4:35 arrival time. But the Chiefs game was on at 4:30. Yep. And I said, I hope, earlier that morning, I was like, I hope she's here and we can just snuggle up and watch the Chiefs game. And so my dad said 4:30. And I was like, oh my gosh, she knew. We can watch some football this afternoon.
We did not.
Not because anything else happened. It was pretty
Just have the choice to watch football.
But just have the really choice. Wanted to be done. Wanted to get game updates.
And then we
sat down on the tarp and I just like leaned back into you and held her. Mm-hmm. And at that point someone said, wow, she's so big. And I had no, like, I couldn't remember how babies, Seiji was 8'6" or 8'7". Mm-hmm. And so also not like a teeny tiny little babe, but not giant. Mm-hmm. And then we moved up to the bed and we got to have an hour of like, I think got the placenta out up in, on the bed. Yeah, we did that up on the bed. And then we got to have an hour of just hanging, me, you, and her. Mm-hmm. And chilling before anything else was really done. And then they did, you know, assessed me, assessed her. She pooped all over my stomach.
Yeah.
And then we weighed her and she was 9 pounds.
12 ounces.
10 ounces?
9'12".
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
21 and a half inches long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and doing great. She like cried until I changed. I had worn a like nursing bra throughout the whole mm-hmm. thing that got wet and then it was cold, mm-hmm. which I didn't even think like, oh, she's laying on a cold piece of clothing right now. Mm-hmm. Once I changed that and she was warm, she was like, all
right. Cozied right up.
Yep. Loves. And still this day loves to be cozy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was
3.5 hours start to finish.
Yeah. Like it was definitely, I mean, for that 2-minute stretch,
mm-hmm.
wilder than Sage's, but having something to compare it to, like, most of it felt way more chill. Like, it
there was
almost,
only an
it
hour
almost
of, was like,
too, it almost was like too, you're like, wow, this is just going too according to schedule. Like,
so I don't very really mean.
Never. You know, you never can plan on those things.
So Emmy was like, we don't usually have planned, like, inductions for home births, but I feel like that's what this was.
About as close as you can get, yeah. Yeah, no, it was, that was, to me, like, leading up to it, was kind of the, obviously, with Sage, we didn't have another kid to think about, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was, like, a piece, just knowing him, too, and, like, how he really wouldn't want to
does not like loud noises.
Yeah, didn't know.
Or like, unpredictability.
Didn't know if you would go right into, like, if you would skip early labor again, and, like, sure. it would get real, really quick. So, like, that was a huge peace of mind to just be, like, able to have him having a good time somewhere else. And, like, it helped. It definitely helped be more, like, helped us both, I think, be more present to, like.
Totally.
Just the whole.
Do you want a nurse? Yeah, totally. And the midwives were there for about 4 hours and then they left.
They were there for 6 or 7.
No, they left at like 8:30. Oh, they went downstairs and they like ate food and then they checked back in on us and stuff. But they like all
I only know that because I went down and was talking to them about how long they were usually at a home birth. And they said about 8. And they said, oh, yeah, so this will be like 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah, total, but I mean 4 hours after she was born.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, there's like a lot of stuff to do after the baby's born for the midwives.
Well, they also like clean up. They break down the tub.
A lot of stuff.
The sheets are changed on the bed. All that sort of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the documentation and assessment of her, assessment of me. I had hemorrhaged with Sage, and with her, I didn't lose a lot of blood. And actually barely tore, which was shocking. I thought it was going to be way worse because they had to go in and pull out her shoulder.
Yeah.
But I think being in the pool was helpful. I think it just made everything
stretchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so grateful.
For sure. Grateful. Man, if we hadn't had the pool.
Yeah.
That
would have been gnarly.
A different start. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Any thoughts or feelings afterward?
Yeah, you know, just you're always so happy when, like, the baby is healthy and everything, like, you know, she gets out of there and when you're doing well and she's doing well, you just, I mean, that's all I really care about.
Yeah.
And so to, like, then have that was really nice. And yeah, no, I mean, we've only had two home births, so I really liked our first experience. I really liked this one too. I think would keep doing it. If like it was low risk and
sure. And if I wanted to have more kids.
Yeah, no, it's hypothetically speaking, if
I did say in labor with both of them. With Sage, I was like, this can be an only child, and then with her I was like, we're done at two.
But yeah, no, I think, you know, just really nice to be in your space the whole time. And then just right after, just like get right into your bed and
totally
and be there and be comfortable and not have to be thinking about additional logistics on that end. And yeah, no, I mean, like we did have a lot of people there, but they were all the people that you wanted to have there. And
I wouldn't change it at all.
No, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. And then she was doing well. She had jaundice like Seiji did.
Yep.
And
which I think we both fully expected.
Yeah. And I think felt more prepared to just like be like, yeah, we're going to nurse. And as long as she's not lethargic and showing other symptoms,
we had a great
being yellow, we're stretch. Just going to chill.
We had a great stretch of like three sunny days mm-hmm. in December after that, which is rare for here. But we were just like, yeah, chilling by the window,
yeah,
in the sun.
It also worked out great because that Monday, the next day, was a snow day for Seiji's school because it's a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came back with Nana at like 9.
Yeah.
And just like came in and met Mila, and we had a like welcome gift for him from her.
Yep.
Oh, my. Are you trying to get cozy? Are you going to go back to sleep? Or you want to nurse some more? And it was a little doctor kit, like a first aid kit, which he's been obsessed with for a little while now, is like being a doctor and doing doctor kit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was jazzed and he went right to work doing her first checkup. And she has had Band-Aids on her clothes ever since.
Yep.
He does a checkup on her every single day.
Mm-hmm. He'll do one later today when he gets home from school.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. And Rach and Erica were here those first couple days, which is so helpful for me. They do a lot of, like, me care.
Totally.
Helped me take my first shower and, just, like, make sure I'm taken care of. And Seiji also loves them. And so they were able to, like, step in and help with him and play with him. But he was home that first day, the Monday, and then he had school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that week,
yeah,
which was perfect for him because he had, like, school. Oh! He had school to go to that was regulating, where he could, like, be in routine and have his, like, normal school environment when home felt not the same when he was in transition. We have found still, like, school days are really regulating for him. Which made the winter break where he was home for 12 straight days really challenging when she was, like, 2.
Yeah. That was long.
Yeah. Because everything was already, like, in transition at home. And then we're like, and you're home for 12 days.
And it's Christmas. Cold outside, but yeah, there's no snow, get out. So it's just cold. Yeah.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, all in all, man, 3.5 hours from first contraction to baby in arms.
Yeah.
I've had some people ask me, like, how do you feel about that? About it being so fast that for a lot of people can be jarring. And I love it. I want to be in labor for the least amount of time possible. I think especially knowing, like, I was taking the castor oil, I was, like, in the headspace of, like, ready to go into labor, like, anticipating it. So it didn't, not like, oh, it caught me off guard and then the baby was just here. Like, we had a plan in place. He was over at Nana's and my body loves castor oil. Or maybe my babies hate it, so they just leave.
And
whatever.
You were just so done being pregnant that you were like, let's go.
You did joke about hanging Pat Mahomes. Like, I watched the quarterback, like, Netflix series and fell in love with Pat Mahomes from this. And you were like, I can hang up pictures with his face with, like, him yelling, like, let's go.
Yeah.
And
I still think that would have been a good
idea. I didn't look up at all, but I think I like what you're doing. That was the energy I was bringing to the birth.
I sensed that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good call. Yeah. And now we have Mila Frances Campbell. Mm-hmm. Frances is Zach's mom's name. And I really liked the name Camila, but Camila Campbell felt like too much alliteration for me. We went with Mila. We had a couple other names in the arsenal. Mm-hmm. And when I was in transition with her, like, Mila was just, like, the name in. Oh, nice. I hope the mic picked that up.
Oh, it for sure did.
Oh, yeah, there's more Mila. You got it, girl. You're so cute. Yeah, Mila was just, like, in my brain while I was in labor, and so we ran with it. And it's perfect. You're the perfect little addition to our family.
She is.
Yeah, we love you. And Seiji loves you. He's been very sweet with you. And you've been very patient with him. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the story.
That's the story of you coming into this world, sis. Yeah, I look forward to hearing people's, like, questions, and if you have curiosities about our birth, but also just, like, home birth or anything like that. I will say, like, I don't think I'm the crunchiest human on the planet. For Vermont, I'm very much not. And so I think, like, I don't necessarily fit the bill of, like, a lot of home birth, like, vibes. I think sometimes it's way crunchier than I'm like, yeah, I'll take the castor oil. You know, like, it's not everyone's approach.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am happy to answer questions if you want to. We'll put up a post on Instagram. You can pop on over and ask questions, all that jazz. Shoot me a DM if you'd rather do it that way, and happy to chat. Thanks for coming Earthside, Mila Bean. Thanks for being so speedy. Yeah, we love ya.
Thanks for tuning in to Voices of Your Village. Check out the transcript at voicesofyourvillage.com. Did you know that we have a special community over on Instagram hanging out every day with more free content? Come join us at seed.and.sew. Take a screenshot of you tuning in, share it on the gram, and tag seed.and.sew to let me know your key takeaway. If you're digging this podcast, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We love collaborating with you to raise emotionally intelligent humans.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.